Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So there's a story in the NFL. I don't know if it's a big deal. I mean, I've never been named this. I've never been given this award, so I'm not sure if it's a big deal, but it could be, and it's involving a quarterback with a lot to prove this upcoming season. We'll get into that here coming up just a couple of moments from now. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. And wherever you are making us a part of your Thursday morning, we appreciate you doing so. We're taking you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. And it is our NFL season preview show. So we will be coming up with our wild card picks. We gave out our division winners last hour. If you missed it, you can check out the podcast after the show. But we will make our wild card picks coming up later on here shortly here on FSR. Now, I don't know if this is a big deal. I've never actually been named a team captain in any capacity whatsoever. Never once. Because in high school football, you got to actually play, from my understanding, in order to
you
be
could
considered.
Still be a team captain. Yeah. It's a long shot.
Yeah, but when you're awful, you know?
Hey, Brady,
it's a real long shot.
It is.
It's a long shot.
That is the longest of
that
long
shots.
Yeah,
the longest
it's a,
long
yeah and that's
shot,
a, yeah. That's a first for everything in my life. But I'll just say this:
you could always been injured with a high ceiling.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that's a good point. Yes, that is a good point. I didn't think about it.
You showed a lot of off the field leadership.
Yes, yeah, okay. a lot of incentive.
A Udonis Haslam type. You know,
right,
you
there
really
you go.
Play,
yeah,
except,
yeah, there you
except
go.
Except he's got some credentials and I don't. But that being said, so
we're going to bust your ass today.
So do
like, whoa, yeah, whoa, like, whoa, bro. On, you're not playing.
You're speaking on your behalf.
Yeah, hold on, Captain.
That so Tua Tagovailoa has got a lot to prove going into year two as an NFL quarterback. And I don't know if I'm just reading too much into this, but he wasn't named a team captain. All right. Now, Trevor Lawrence was named a team captain. He's never played a snap in the NFL. He was named team captain.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
look, before you even go into where you're
I just asked
every
you the
team
question.
Does it differently.
Okay.
I don't know how Brian Flores and his staff concocted this. And I don't know what LeVar thinks, but a lot of times, like even if the players voted, the coaches are going to do what they want to do. So I'll put it that way. Like, I don't know that everyone voted Trevor Lawrence as the captain or how that all went, but he's the starting quarterback. Like, they're going to make him that guy, even if he hasn't earned it yet or he's not the guy yet. None of that matters. What's significant about it, if he's not, is the fact that it's just one less thing where it's less awkward if they were to bench him or move on from him, right? Like, let's say, for example, before the trade deadline, they make a move for Deshaun Watson. Like, it looks less awkward, right? If you've got that guy who's captain and you got to talk about it and all this stuff. But if that situation was to play itself out, it's just a little bit less awkward, right, to then throw the C on that guy's chest. So I'm sure there's some Dolphin fans who want to see him earn it. The coaching staff may say they want to see him earn it. Maybe some teammates, if that's how they voted. But I look at this and I say, it's not overly surprising considering how Brian Flores has handled things so far with Tua. And, you know, even though he's come out and said he's our guy, it still seems like until the trade deadline and even after the season, like I still think there's the potential chance of them doing something if they don't feel confident enough in what he brings.
Well, you ultimately have to look at this team and the scenarios that could play out for Tua. Being connected ultimately to them wanting to take a definitive step in the direction of this is a division that's up for grabs right now. I mean, we can say that it's the Bills' time and they're going to dominate and we're probably right, but it's still considered to be a division that's up for grabs. So when you think about how close the Miami Dolphins could be right now to what it is they're able to get accomplished, if they're not confident in the most important piece to that puzzle being able to deliver, then you would have to believe that they're being very, very aggressive behind the scenes trying to figure out how they can rectify that problem as quickly as they possibly can. I just know this. When you hear a lot of speculation about something, whether it's 100% true, there's some truth to it. This is what I've learned in media. If you continue to hear something that is along the lines of this is the storyline that continues to march forward, Mac Jones could be the starter. Did you guys see how much that picked up? Mac Jones could be the starter. When will Mac Jones start? Can Cam Newton maintain the position? A lot of people are frustrated about the whole Cam and COVID thing. Wherever the truth was in all of that, it ended up playing out that Mac Jones ended up being the undisputed starter for this team. So the idea that you continue to hear things about Tua and how, okay, there has been the support that has been given to him from Flores. He comes out, we like character guys. He gave him a glowing endorsement of the type of guys they want in Miami. But didn't Bill Belichick, which isn't that where the coaching tree that Flores comes from, didn't Belichick kind of do the same thing with Cam? He was a champion of Cam.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, Cam isn't on the team. So I think you could take what coaches say at face value. I think he does believe what he's saying about Tua, and I think he does represent him well in that regard. But if there's somebody that's going to make the Dolphins a better team and gives Flores an opportunity to take over that division that's up for grabs, which he has a team that's good enough to be able to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, then you got to believe that if a Deshaun Watson is available, that they're and if they're working on that right now, if they're trying to figure out, if that trade takes place, you have to assume that Miami felt comfortable and confident that Deshaun Watson would come in and be ready to play pretty much the moment he sets foot in South Beach.
Here's what I don't get, though, is you drafted Tua. Like, you didn't have to. You could have even traded back, and you could have gotten more picks for a team that I think was viewed in a rebuilding year, or at least in that mode. Like, you didn't have to take him, and they still ended up taking him with the injury concerns and everything else. Like, that's what I don't understand about them not buying into Tua and how they handled things last year with him. Like, you supposedly had done all this evaluation on the player. You'd seen him play. It's not like he hadn't been at the college level for a number of years and you couldn't dig up information on him. And yet you still decided to pull the trigger on him. And then yet, what, you have buyer's remorse already?
Like,
after
it was
a
quick.
Year we're...
It was
I mean, after a year, we're like statistically looking at it and even watching some of the tape. Like, I understand some of the concerns, but he's a rookie. Like, you can't compare his learning curve to Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert was a four-year starter at Oregon. He played his entire career, true freshman, all that was from Eugene. I mean, it's an entirely different set of circumstances. And mind you, you know, Herbert played his best football his last year. But he never made it to the stage that Tua did.
No.
Playing a national championship and the SEC and all those matchups we saw. So I think it's just odd to me that they would so quickly want to move on from a guy that the same coach, the same general manager that's there, you made the decision. Like,
right.
You already are going to be second guessing this dude.
My bad.
Like, give him a chance.
we got him. My bad.
Yeah, like,
let me try this again.
What did we say, Tua?
Let me try this one again.
I mean, am I crazy right now, guys?
And if they walk away from him after, first of all, he came off the injury last year. It was a devastating injury. Comes off the injury. It's a COVID year, so it's not like everybody had the exact proper times to get prepared for a season. And, you know, he didn't play that bad. He wasn't Justin Herbert, but he wasn't that bad. If they walk away from all of that after a year for some guy who's got 22-plus complaints for going to the grab lab, and they want to bring him as their franchise quarterback, and they want... To me, that's a gutsy call, and I just I mean, if I'm Tua at this point, man, get the hell out of there, man. Like, I mean, if they're not going to show faith in you in a regular season game.
He's just got to play, though, Jonas.
I understand,
like,
but.
Like, you can't, like, get the hell out of there is like kind of like how do you force your way out? Like, I think the way you get the hell out of there is by playing well.
Or if by them bringing in Deshaun Watson, like, well, then he's gone.
Well, that's not getting the hell out of there. You're getting kicked the hell out of there.
I mean, but at this point, like, I mean,
it's a big difference.
Everything is telling him.
It's like the difference between leaving the club and getting kicked out of the club.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? It depends on what
security
story.
Security handles that two completely different ways.
Sir, we'd like to help you to your car. Yes. Did you have a great evening?
Check, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Escort you out.
When you're getting kicked out, it's like.
You're getting in a chokehold.
Yeah, okay. there is no conversation other than shut up.
Dragging your ass out.
Shut up.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, it's just very different.
Yeah, it is very different here.
Highs and lows.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, LeVar. I'm glad you see the same TV I do.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't either. But man,
hey, what's the weather like out there?
What's
the weather like?
It's raining Z's. That's what it is. Dios mio.
Oh no.
All right.
I do what time
it was. Do we want to get into our wild card picks? You guys ready to start throwing out some wild card picks? Three of them again. We've got three wild card picks in the AFC and NFC. Brady Quinn, you're our leadoff hitter here on Outkick the Coverage. Go right ahead, sir.
Let me start off by saying this. I was shocked. Like, again, I went through this whole thing. I went through week by week, game by game, shocked at how this turned out. In fact, I'm telling you right now, I don't like it, all right? But I did this. I went through every week of the season, every matchup, and this is how it came out. I got the Steelers and Browns at 10-7, neither of which are making the playoffs.
Wow.
I know. I don't feel good about it. And so one of the playoff teams is coming out of the AFC East. That's the New England Patriots at 11-6. I don't like it. I don't think they're going to be a wild card team. I don't. I think it's going to be Pittsburgh, Cleveland, or maybe both of those teams. But again, I just for the sake of this show, I want to stay true to you guys. So I've got the Patriots, the Chargers, who had a great season, by the way, 13-4, and then the Broncos at 11-6, which I think they could be because I'm betting on my man Teddy B because they got a stacked roster. But those are my three teams, the Patriots, Chargers, and Broncos. I'm a bit surprised, to be honest with you, though, and I don't feel great about it.
Interesting. I'm going to go with the three Bs as my wild card teams. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns. I think their roster, they're too stacked. I like Baker Mayfield. I don't think he's a top 5 or 10 quarterback, but clearly he can play. But I like the Cleveland Browns. I have them getting in over the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's still question marks for me when it comes to Pittsburgh. I've also got the Buffalo Bills being a wild card team. Now, you're probably asking yourself, wait, Bill's a wild card team? Well, if you want to know who won the division, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com because it will be there up after the show is over. And then I, too, have the Denver Broncos getting that final wild card spot. I like the Chargers. I like the Chargers a lot. But here we go again. Austin Eckler, some sort of little issue pops up at practice yesterday, and I just wonder if we're going to see a little bit of a sophomore slump, and maybe Justin Herbert isn't the Justin Herbert everybody thinks he's going to be this year because of the crowds and because of being in packed stadiums. I wonder if that's going to be an issue. So I like the Browns, Bills, and Broncos.
What are you saying? He's used to the Pac-12 football where no one's there?
Oh,
that
come
was
on.
Was last year. Is that what you're saying?
Listen, just
is that what you're saying?
Because they play in that, the Pac-12 championship game. How many people were there? Like, you and Joe Davis called the game. Was there like 45 people there?
That was like an annual thing for us. And we were like trying to give away tickets before the game. I'd be walking around trying to give it away to people. Here, please come to the game. Please. You could sit right there, right there next to the field. Yeah, please come to the game.
Bring your empty seat costume, too. You can blend right in with everybody else. So there it is, my wild card picks. LeVar Arrington.
Wild card.
Sticks with picks.
Yeah, man. I'm going to go with the Titans. I'm going to go with the Dolphins, and I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Interesting.
Three wild card teams.
All right. All right. So you think the Dolphins, that team with a quarterback not named team captain, is going to be a wild card
team? I think they're a good team, and I think that they are, again, I think that they're a team that will be competitive for the division. I think they'll keep up.
So I had them at 9-8. But you know what the difference was why they weren't a wild card team for me? I had him 2-4 in the division. So that's where you and I differ. Yeah. I think the Patriots will be better this year. And obviously the Bills are going to be good. But I think that's the difference for them is if they do better in the division like you think, they're probably a wild card team with the way I ended up picking.
Hey, by the way, why is it fair that Brady gets to use some playoff predictor thing?
I sent it to you guys. Yeah, I sent you guys the link.
We're not cheating bastards.
He did send it. But
yeah, nice. Yeah.
I just feel like my mind kind of computes pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I'm one with them. In fact, it's different.
In fact, they should have a link that says LeVar's brain for the playoff predictor.
Yeah, they should.
You know, you'll see hamster wheels, gerbils and hamsters and guinea pigs on. This is LeVar's thought process on how it works.
Hide and go seek for some people when it comes to those props.
You see the little ball going down the little things all the way, making it all the way to the bottom, little silver ball.
Based on some of the other stuff we sent each other, it's not far off.
You guys remember that game called, what was it, where you pull the thing back and you shoot the ball into the pinball machine?
That's how my
mind works, man.
I get
thoughts coming towards me. I hit the sides. I got my little flip. Boom, I got a couple extra flippers higher up on I'm going for the high school high score.
You know? I was terrible at pinball.
Were you really?
Awful. I don't know why.
Were you guys violent pinball players or were you just straight strategic? Like
I was more of a golden tee guy. Like golden tee.
Oh, golden tee.
But what I'm saying is like violent pinball machine players are the ones that shake the pinball machine to try.
Yeah.
Oh. That was you.
Yeah, but I mean, look at
like some people
I am.
Are very courtesy driven. Yeah, like they'll just hit the thing, But some people are like, oh, and they shake it, and they shake it, and they shake it, you know, and it's...
I mean, I don't know if you're really into working out or anything, but in between games, I used to lift the pinball machine up to get some shoulder shrugs.
Get some shrugs. Yeah. Hey, did you ever keep hitting your flippers knowing that the ball had already gone down and probably was over, but in some weird, strange way, you thought that there might be an extra ball, so you kept hitting the flippers?
Yeah.
Because you knew the flippers would stop once your turn was over, like once your game was over.
Yeah, that's what that Charger security guard was doing on the sidelines. A couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, just a little two-ball corner pocket.
My lover balls.
All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Why do you make me do that?
This is Outkick the Coverage.
All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up later on this hour, the debut of the Prop Bet Monster. All right, you don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Just lock in. We are going to have some fun with that. But right now, Albert Breer, MMQB senior NFL reporter, joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Albert, happy NFL season to you and yours. It's finally here.
AB.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell was going on there.
I don't either.
Was that stuff they sell at Staples or something like that?
Yes, it was an office materials.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay.
Update. Yeah.
It was an awful bottom of the hour update, is what it was. Let's just call it that. Albert, I got to ask you. So Patrick Surtain, real deal in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, I think all indications are that he's come as advertised and. You know, I think the physical ability, everybody knows, you know, what he's bringing to the table there. It's just how quick he's picked up the defense. And I guess you'd expect that from a guy who, you know, is the son of a former all-pro corner and played for Nick Saban at Alabama. But that's a complex defense, tough defense to play in. The Vic Fangio runs there in Denver. And the fact that they're able to move him around as much as they have been already as a rookie – I think it's been eye-opening for some people there. And so, you know, the Broncos are setting up as an interesting team. The quarterback's obviously still a question, but they have a lot going for them in a lot of different places. And, you know, not to spin this thing too far ahead, but if you look at them, it's not that far off from where they were. You know, I mean, Brady, you'll remember this because you were on the team in 11
when they
had a lot of, like, good young players coming together. And it really set up for Peyton Manning to step in 2012, where Denver could wind up being a really attractive destination for an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson or a Deshaun Watson in 2022.
Well, that's what I was going to lead to next, because we know this about the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston. He's not playing week one. Tyrod Taylor's the starter. He's probably not going to be active. Nick Caserio, their general manager, said they're going to take it week by week. What's your guess as far as how this plays out? Does he stay on the roster for the rest of the season? Do they trade him before the deadline? How do you foresee this thing working out?
Yeah, Brady, I think if somebody was going to pay the market price they would have paid it by now. And I think if the Texans were going to take any sort of discount, they would have taken the discount by now. So I think really, you know, this is sort of in a holding pattern until there's some clarity from, you know, the league and some clarity from the legal system. And, I mean, look, like, I'm not going to litigate innocence or guilt. I don't know. You know, I mean, that's going to have to play itself out. And, I mean, I think one thing that's sort of interesting here is, you know, my understanding is, like, there was a, I'd say, like, a reasonable, you know, settlement. Like, there was a reasonable idea of a settlement out there. And my understanding of the way that all went down was Deshaun really wanted to kind of, wanted to prove his innocence. And if that's the truth and he really doesn't want to settle, this is going to take a long time, you know. And if this thing's hung up in the courts through the season, I don't know that any team's going to step up with a sort of offer that the Texans are going to would accept. And I just haven't gotten any sort of indication whatsoever that Nick Caserio is going to take anything less than what he would have gotten in January or February before the lawsuits were filed to move Deshaun Watson.
What are you working on? What's the most relevant story you're working on right now as it applies to the league storylines? Because there are so many that are developing. What do you think is the most relevant?
I mean, I just think LeVar, the unsettled, the kind of like unsettled situation of quarterbacking across the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's really what it is. And you know, I can't remember a season when we went in where, you know, you had superstar quarterbacks and there was such huge questions on where they're going to be the following year, you know? And it's not like we knew, like, you know, I mean, maybe we had an idea, like, that Brady could move on from the Patriots, but I don't know if people really thought that was as real as it was going into the 19th season. And, like, Peyton Manning, I don't think anybody thought he was not going to be a Colt in 2012 and 2011. And so, like, I think the fact that you got Deshaun's name out there, the fact that you got Aaron's name out there, the fact that Russell Wilson's situation could go back to where it was again last January, this January, I just think that that makes this so interesting because so many of these, I think, quarterback situations could look different a year from now, and so many of them look different now than they did last year, where you got Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, Sam Darnold in Carolina, obviously Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles. So I just think, LeVar, the biggest story in the league right now is how unsettled the quarterback situation is. And if you want to take it to kind of a broad strokes level, like why all this is happening, I honestly believe that, like, a big part of it is sort of the Mahomesization of the NFL, where a lot of teams are looking at the quarterbacks that have made it to the final stages. And, you know, you look at Josh Allen in Buffalo, Tom Brady in Tampa, you know, Patrick in Kansas City the last couple of years, and obviously Aaron in Green Bay. I think a lot of teams are looking at that and saying, like, can we really climb the mountain with the quarterback we have? And so I think that's why you've seen teams like the Niners start to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo, like L.A. move off of Jared Goff. I think it's just the bar's raising at the position, and I think that's created sort of an unsettled environment across the NFL.
Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter for the MMQB, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn with you here on FSR. What do you think happens with T.J. Watt's situation with the Steelers?
I mean, look, like, so, like, I always think, like, it's always darkest before the dawn with these contract situations. So, you know, I think there's going to have to be some level of compromise. The Steelers have really strict rules about what they do with contracts. They were willing to bend those rules for Ben Roethlisberger years ago. They said at the time, we're doing this because it's a quarterback. We won't do it for anyone else. I think they're going to have to bend a little bit to get T.J. Watt done. At the same time, I think T.J. Watt's going to have to come off his spot a little bit. You know, it's just, it's one of these where, you know, I think, like, the deadline of Saturday could wind up getting the sides to find some level of middle ground. And the Steelers have been here before. You know, they got David DeCastro done right on the day before the season. They got Stephon Tua done right on the day before the season. They got Troy Polamalu in 2011 done right on the day before the season. So I think there's a chance Friday or Saturday you're hearing about T.J. Watt getting a deal done. But I would say that it's going to take a fair amount of compromise from both sides to get there because I don't think they're that close right now.
Albert, Are you concerned at all that Tua Tagovailoa is not a captain down there in Miami? I mean, it's going to be an interesting matchup just to contrast where Mac Jones is year one in New England and those two teams squaring off. But does that concern you? Does that lead you to think that, hey, maybe something may happen down the road this season?
I'd be at least a little concerned, Bray. I mean, let's call it what it is. I think in a lot of cases, coaches will make their quarterbacks captain if there's any way to do it, right? Say you want five captains and the quarterback's the sixth leading vote getter. I think in a lot of cases, a coach will say, all right, well, we're going with six captains then, because you want your quarterback to feel the weight of that, leadership. And I look in New York and Zach Wilson's a captain as a rookie, and I look in Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence is a captain as a rookie. So, I mean, we can explain it away, however you want to explain it away. I think it's at least a little, it got my attention. I know that. What do you think, Brady? Because you were a quarterback. That got my attention that he's not one, because I would think, if Flores really wanted to throw his support behind the guy, then you find a way to do it, even if the vote doesn't go that way.
Huh? Yeah, I think that would be one way. My quick answer to it would be, he could say whatever he wants to behind the scenes privately to the team, but that would be one way. But I also know that maybe he wants him to earn that. Maybe he feels like it hasn't been earned yet. There's that New England culture there. That's the only wild card that I don't know. But to your point, we mentioned this earlier, and LaVar knows this, if the coaching staff wants you to be a captain, you're going to be a captain, especially at the NFL level.
Right.
It ain't college where they're actually going to have all these players vote. None of that matters.
Right, right. And I think one thing I know about Belichick, and I think Flo's the same way. Those guys always sort of have an idea of what their team needs. And, I know this with Bill. A lot of people have this idea of Bill and, the guys who work with him as, just being tough on people all the time, right? And I think one of the things that Bill does well is, and again, I think Flo is the exact same way in Miami, is they know when a guy needs to be knocked down, and they know when a guy needs to be picked up a little bit, and they know when they need to, put a guy in his place, and they know when they need to elevate a guy. And I just look at where Tua is, and after having such a weird first year, and then going into year two. And on the doorstep of his second year, he's finally the starter. And they finally – and I think they got rid of Fitzpatrick in part because they didn't want that hanging over Tua. He's finally there, and now, he's got to answer for this. So I just – I don't know. It just kind of struck me as a little strange, and it made me wonder if something's going on there. Now, I haven't heard that there is, but, I would think that – just having a feel for the situation, I would think if you're Flores, you would want to try to build the guy up a little bit based on everything he's been through and show confidence in him to the rest of the locker room.
We're talking about quarterbacks, and obviously Mac Jones being the starter in New England. What's the probability of them being able to win their division with a rookie quarterback?
I think Buffalo is going to be really good. So, I might be the wrong person to ask on that, LaVar, just because I have Buffalo in the Super Bowl. So, the Patriots failing to win the division to me wouldn't be a failure. I mean, I think that much of where Josh Allen is going into year four, I know what the league thinks of him. I'm doing a poll. And right now I've got 60 ballots back. It's head coaches, general managers, offensive coordinators, quarterbacks, coaches, directors of player personnel. Josh Allen is a very solid third right now among all quarterbacks in that poll, behind only Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, ahead of Tom Brady. So I think Buffalo's in for a very big year. But I think the Patriots, to me, the formula is right there for them. And, I think we're all focused on Mac and what Mac can do. I think so much of this is going to be how the rest of the team can lift him up and what the formula is. And the formula to me is the same as it was in 2001 when Brady was the starter for the first time. It's keep him out of long distance or keep him out of long yardage situations consistently. Don't have him playing from behind. And they have the tools to do that because, I look at it, once they get Steph Gilmore back in October, I think they got a chance to be an elite defense. I think they've got a top five offensive line, and they've got a really good tailback in Damian Harris. And so all the tools are there to take the pressure off him and play the game a certain way where he isn't in third and 15, and he isn't playing from two or three touchdowns down. I think that's going to be the formula for them this year. And I think if they drop Mac Jones into that sort of scenario, it'll sort of mirror what he had at Alabama, get him feeling more comfortable. And I think that'll be a good way to get him rolling.
He is Albert Breer, MMQB, senior NFL reporter, always kind enough to join us here on Fox Sports Radio. Get him on Twitter, at Albert Breer. Albert, always appreciate it, man. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Big Al.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, AB.
All right, thanks, guys. And I got to apologize for last week. I was a little hazy, so
that's
hopefully
right.
This went a little better for you guys.
Yeah.
I like last week better.
Yeah, come on.
I like last week better, buddy.
Listen,
it was a little frisky.
Yeah, nothing
yeah.
wrong with that.
Well, hey, if you guys want last week back, I can. Maybe I can accommodate that.
a little Breer on the rocks. That's
Brouhaha.
A here. All right, good stuff. We'll talk to you soon. He's one of the best, Albert Breer, here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, we are going to take a closer look at the Cowboys and Bucks. So that is game one of the NFL season, kicking
great
off later
song.
On tonight. So
great
we'll get into
song.
That here.
Oh, man.
Coming up a little over 10 minutes
Army.
From now here yeah. on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Going to gym to this, Brady.
That's
now,
right, baby.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready to take part in the debut of something here on the Big Time?
Let's do this.
This is something I have attempted on weekend overnight radio, and it failed.
Hasn't worked out well.
Yeah, it failed miserably there. But I have a feeling that it may play a little bit differently here. So without further ado, it's time for this.
Here to feed your degenerate gambling soul. The Prop Bet Monster.
So here we go. I have put together prop bets. Okay, prop bets for tonight's game. We can all play along, but it'll be Brady Quinn and LeVar Arrington. So it'll be QB versus LB with a host being a DB here on Fox Sports Radio.
Are we keeping score?
Hell yeah, we're keeping score.
So we're gonna say the score weekly?
Yeah, well, who knows?
Yeah,
we'll
yeah,
see.
I think we should.
It may not be invited back for another week. So
I mean,
you never
we're
know
competitive.
How this goes.
We're competitive.
Of course
guys.
You are.
I want to know the result.
So let's get it started here then. The first prop bet. This week, it's Cowboys at Bucks later on tonight. All right, so here we are. Key member of the Bucks' last Super Bowl win shown in attendance first. Here are your options. Is it Brad Johnson, Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, or Barrett Robbins? All right, so key member of the Bucks' last Super Bowl win.
Warren Sapp, 100%.
All right, so you're going to go Warren Sapp on that. All right, so Brady Quinn, go ahead and make your pick.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with... This is tough. I thought you were going to say Derek Brooks, so I'm going to take Derek Brooks.
I think that's probably the one that's going to be the winner. I think either Derek Brooks or both.
Yeah. Here's the thing is, Sapp was at that Ole Miss. I think his son plays on Ole Miss, right?
I don't know.
He was at that game Monday night because Lane Kiffin was saying that he's like, yeah, Sapp was the one coaching or something. He gave him all the credit for the win.
So I think
it might be Derek Brooks.
Nobody's taking the Barrett Robbins bait there? Nobody's going to take that one?
No.
Leave that one alone? All right, fair enough.
Was Tony Robbins a part of that?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't on the list.
Oh, here we go. All right, next up, first close-up shot after kickoff. Is it Tom Brady's knee without the sleeve, Dak Prescott's ankle, Jerry Jones, or a player or coach wearing a mask?
It's going to be Dak Prescott.
So you think Dak Prescott's ankle is going to be the first shot after kickoff? Now, this is after kickoff.
It depends who gets the ball.
I mean, his ankle is going to be in the shot, right?
Close up.
This depends on
I think
on
you're
who gets
right,
the ball.
Brady. I think you're right. Yeah. But honestly speaking, yes, you're right. But I think the first close-up of significance is going to be Dak Prescott.
Okay. All right, there it is. Yeah. All right, Brady.
I'm going to say Tom Brady because I do feel like it's whoever gets the ball. And so you got a coin flip here.
I agree with you there. I agree with you there.
Like, I'm not sure how – I mean, how do you do the mask thing? Like, if you show someone in the crowd with the mask on, does that count?
Listen, I'm the judge, jury, and executioner.
I just don't want us to lose this from your BS.
I'm just saying.
He's fixing it.
All right, listen.
100%.
Who knows? All right, so next up here, it is the Prop Bet Monster here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, next up, and all caps tweet sent by Skip Bayless, over or under halftime?
Under.
So you think it's early on?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to go early on from a Skip.
You
got to
shoot your gun quick. I can't disagree with LeVar.
That's fine.
I also
so make
think the
same
under.
Pick.
He's a huge Dallas fan.
Yeah.
It's got to be the under here.
All right.
For good or for bad, he's going to all cap something.
All right. Here we go. First touchdown scored by a wide receiver, by a tight end, or by a running back?
Ooh.
It's going to be a receiver.
Okay. Hmm. So touchdown pass then.
Gosh, see, I was going to say that. I don't want to keep agreeing with them, though.
But sensibility is sensibility. Yeah, you've disagreed
twice.
Like,
it's all right.
I'm going to say receiver for this reason, too.
We see a lot more
three wide receiver sets. So just by sheer numbers, you're going to have a better chance of a wide receiver getting that.
All right. So final one here. This is the debut edition of the Prop Bet Monster. Final pick for tonight's game between the Bucs and Cowboys. Player's jersey worn by a Cowboys fan caught fighting on camera. And here are your options, all right? So what jersey will they be wearing? Is it Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Daryl Moose Johnston, Tony Romo, or is it a Tony Romo jersey that says Jim Nance misses working with Phil Sims?
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's enticing.
How did you
leave Dez Bryant off of that list, though?
I
would assume a Dez Bryant jersey member is going to be likely to be
Would you order something off the menu, LeVar? What are we doing
all
here?
Right, okay.
No. Let him, look, if he's right, he's right. Like, yeah. Let him go with Dez.
Yeah, let me go with Dez.
Institute Dez instead of that last crap you had.
Brady.
I'm going to say Zeke Elliott. Right. Zeke Elliott.
I'm going to say Dak Prescott.
All right, so there it is. Yeah. That is the debut edition.
I went back to the list.
He tried to walk you into the wood chipper there.
I don't want to hurt
you into the wood chipper.
I don't want to hurt your feelings, Jonas.
Hour 3 next year on FSR.